Good morning, Tucson, and all our listeners around Southern Arizona. This is Lydia Aranda, and I'm your morning host on another Monday for Rainmakers. Today is Monday, May 12th, and we are wrapping up a fantastic Mother's Day weekend. Lots of celebrations going on all around, and I'm so excited about the guests we have this morning. We have January Contreras, who's Executive Director of Children's Action Alliance. January, thanks for being in studio with us this morning.
So glad to be with you.
And we also have joining us via the phone line and Zoom, Eileen Klein. Eileen is the president of Arizona Chamber Foundation. And of course, you all may remember her as a fabulous former Arizona State Treasurer. Eileen, good morning.
Wonderful to join you.
Thanks so much. And of course, Matt Neely behind the glass, making everything work just wonderfully. Matt, how was your weekend? How did you like that heat we had?
A wonderful weekend, and got to get together with some good friends, and it made it very special. So, and the evenings are still nice this time of year. So saw some music out on the patio at St. Philip's Plaza. So it was a wonderful, wonderful weekend.
Isn't that great? And yes, we are not so glad that it cools off at night and being out
this time of the year,
yeah,
right?
You never quite
still
sure.
We got that we can hold on to for a few.
I mean,
weeks.
It was just a week ago we were still wearing little windbreakers and sweaters in the evening, but I think we're off to the races with the heat. And you were at St. Philip's Plaza, of course, that is Grant Kruger, one of our co-hosts here on The Morning Voice. He does Wednesday mornings. So
we were privileged to see Grant, so it was very nice.
Fantastic. Well, again, this is Rainmakers, and Rainmakers is a show that brings together a lot of those actions, organizations, leaders, and initiatives that help communities thrive. And we certainly have with our guests today a lot that we're going to speak about, starting with Children's Action Alliance. January, you are here as executive director of this fabulous organization, but again, you have a very strong background being an advocate for our Arizonans and folks, all families and children all around the country, for all that you've done in your many roles. Let's talk a little bit about your journey that has brought you into this role at Children's Action Alliance. First of all, hailing from Southern Arizona, correct?
My roots, for sure. My dad is from Bisbee. My mom is from Nogales. My tata went to Carrillo Elementary School right downtown. So we have spent many, many trips up here when I was growing up. Of course, a UVA grad twice over.
That's right. Wildcat in the house. Bear down.
Bear down. Bear down. And my son graduates this week. So very exciting for us to start our second generation of Wildcats.
That's great. And you studied in your undergrad, remind the audience, I know you under your law degree, but your undergrad was in what field?
I actually studied media and political science.
Wonderful. Well, you're sitting in the right place right now in a radio station talking about some of the latest, greatest issues and ways that we can all advocate for our children and families, which is what you are doing at Children's Action Alliance, statewide advocacy, nonpartisan organization that really just steps up to be a voice on behalf of those children and families or those who serve them. And you focus on a lot of initiatives, education, health and wellness, caregiving. Tell us a little bit more about the mission at the Alliance.
Well, the mission of Children's Action Alliance is one that is just really speaks to me. And to a lot of people, Children's Action Alliance has been around for 37 years.
Amazing,
yes. Spending a lot of time down at the Capitol on the 9th floor with different governors, working with state agencies and sometimes local governments. Basically, Children's Action Alliance was started by its founder, who said, you know, there are lobbyists for all these other causes. We're going to start Children's Action Alliance, and there are going to be lobbyists for children. And so Children's Action Alliance is there advocating for children's health, for their safety, for their learning, and economic security. And, you know, that journey, all of mine, previously working for Governor Napolitano, previously working at Access, our Medicaid agency, and in that health sphere, everything, you know, that I worked for then to now is aligned with the Children's Action Alliance mission. Very proud to be a part of this legacy and this team.
Well, you're doing a great job taking us, bringing it from whence we've come to the issues of today and how those, if we get behind them, if together we come up with collective and collaborative solutions, we are setting the future of Arizona off to a good and solid path. So thank you all you do. And I recall for the audience and in full disclosure, full transparency, January and I worked together in the Napolitano administration. And while I was focused on small business and that side of workforce and economic development, really the kinds of things even that you're doing today still connect very well, because we need to teach our children and parents and young folks, young adults, more about financial literacy, financial stability, and that includes understanding what kind of resources are out there to help them from when they're in school all the way to when they're managing their own households. So that aspect about business or finance comes into play no matter what the subject is. And I think standing behind our families and children and giving them the pathways, the support, the tools that can help them be more stable in their home life helps in their work life and therefore helps Arizona all together.
Absolutely. The success of families is the success of this state. No question.
Well, that ties so well into what other organizations do. And in particular, I'm thinking about the Arizona Chamber Foundation. Of course, Eileen, you're doing a great job and have been for so long. I love that you have the background that you do and that you're applying it now into your role as president of the Arizona Chamber. However, some folks might not be that familiar with the Chamber, president of the Chamber Foundation, which works alongside the Arizona Chamber of Commerce and Industry. And tell us about some of the programs that are unique to the foundation side that tap into small business, industry, economic development. I mean, one that comes to my mind is civic engagement, but I don't want to steal all your thunder, so I'll let you tell us a little bit more.
Right, you bet. And thanks so much. The Arizona Chamber Foundation is the 501c3 nonprofit, nonpartisan arm of the statewide Chamber of Commerce. It's really focused on policy issues and research that make all those connection points, like we were just talking about, not just what works for long-term success in business, but will continue to create individual opportunity in Arizona. So their programs include the research and white papers for a lay audience, not for academics, but really to translate all of those issues out so that policymakers can understand what's going to make business thrive and what's going to create more opportunity for the people who live here in Arizona. So they'll focus on the typical things you would expect, like taxes and regulation and what will help a small business start, an entrepreneur make their mark and then help a business grow. And then they'll also be involved in things like healthcare. I know we'll talk a little bit more about that, but you're seeing them engage more on things that matter to everyone across Arizona, issues that will take the entire community to engage around, things like childcare. So they have a very broad portfolio of interests and applications on those issues. They have a dedicated news channel that goes out to policymakers and to business leaders, where they really focus on the business news from other sources and original content that, again, helps elevate the key issues of the day. And then they have a couple of other signature programs. One right now is partnering with the Commerce Authority. That is the state's economic development entity under the leadership of Sandra Watson. The governor is the chair. Governor Hobbs chairs that. Sandra is the president and CEO. They're responsible for helping Arizona grow statewide, not just in the urban areas. So we're working on a project with them that will really look at where are we today as a state, what has been successful, but what's going to guarantee success in the future. Hopefully during our time together today, we can talk a little bit more about that, because that's going to be an incredibly important conversation, particularly as we think about how to help Southern Arizona thrive going forward in an era where people are having fewer children and in migration is not at the same rate that it was before. And then finally, there is a whole series of programming around civic engagement, particularly with youth civic leaders. We do a lot of work with college students to help them get immersed in public policy in a nonpartisan way, again, but to really help them understand the issues, the mechanics of government, and to really begin to make their way as leaders. We are also very proud for the past year to have launched the National Civics Bee in Arizona. That is a
congratulations on that.
Thank you. It's now in 40 states, and Tucson has been a happy host of a local competition. Next year, as we go into 2026, that we expect the competition will be in all 50 states. We just had this year's statewide competition, and our winner will be going on to represent Arizona in Washington, D.C. this fall. And the prize money is unbelievable. The engagement around this has been terrific. So we look forward to maybe coming back and talking more with all of you so we can get more students participating. This is a middle school program where they write an essay about an issue that engages them in the community, and then they participate in a civic speech competition. And let me tell you, those questions are tough. College students could not pass this test. And so it is just a thrill to see these young leaders in middle school really embracing their civic role and starting their civic journey. So thanks for letting me share a little bit about all of that great programming.
Oh, yes. No, that's fantastic. And I think you touched on so many different things about commerce, about understanding policy, which can be daunting for lots and lots of people whose sole focus is that, much less young students coming up in their journey, trying to decide perhaps what fields of study and career paths they might engage in or have interest in. But I think it's important, and you certainly hear on The Morning Voice, and especially on Tuesdays, which is hosted by Ted Maxwell from Southern Arizona Leadership Council, and of course, retired General Davis Monthan. His whole show is all about engagement, civic and otherwise, volunteering and all kinds of other things. But the point that both our shows really hone in on is how do we get more information out to folks to help tap into what their interests are? And with that, how do they become a voice for themselves or for others? So I know that we have all that in common between January, you, myself, and this show. So I look forward to continuing the conversation this morning. We're getting ready, believe it or not, for our first break. So stay with us. You're listening to Rainmakers, The Morning Voice on KVOI. And we're back on this Monday, May 12th with Rainmakers. We are at 10:30 The Voice, trusted local news and talk here at KVOI Studios and also online through our Zoom. And if callers are interested in things we're talking about and they would like to share a comment or an observation, or if they have a question for our guests, January Contreras or Eileen Klein, please remember you can dial right in to 520-790-2040.
There you go.
Yes, then we got it. And you're right. It is warm this morning, Matt, but we're liking it, and it still means we don't have to shovel it in the winter. So
that is correct.
We're very glad. So in our beginning of our show, we talked a little bit about both January's background and what she's doing, the main points and missions of the advocacy that the Children's Action Alliance does, that January has focused on in a good majority of her career. Of course, the fact that she's a wildcat, and we're going to say bear down again. And I always tell the audience, I'm so glad that I am a wildcat and a sun devil, so I'm happy no matter who wins. I know that that's not popular with some folks. They want me to pick a side, but going to both schools and having my family, my parents both earned degrees from both schools. So we just kind of got along with everybody in our family when it came to the universities. And Eileen, all the work that you're doing at the Chamber Foundation, particularly around the aspects of teaching, not only business owners and industry leaders, but really honing in also on youth, on students and young professionals about the kind of ways they can engage. Healthcare is big and important to everybody everywhere, whether you're in business, whether you are a public servant, whether you're a head of household, a teacher, or certainly just kind of walking along. Healthcare's on the mind, I think, of everybody at every moment, because we all want to live hunger-free and healthier lives. And to do that, We depend on interacting with others who might teach us better behaviors, maybe show us resources when we find ourselves needing some help or some care. And a lot of that is difficult to do if one doesn't have affordable insurance. And so there are programs and resources and opportunities through Medicaid, through Medicare, through Access, through lots of other channels that make it possible for folks to have better and more affordable health care. It seems to me that that's the top of mind of a lot of the discussions that are going on with budgets. January, maybe you can start us with what's going on with health care and why we care about budgets right now. And Eileen, you might be able to help support some of those descriptors and issues from the kind of work you do. January, tell us a little more.
Yeah, glad to. I think about back when I worked for Governor Napolitano, that was around 2006, 2007, 2008, mm-hmm. We didn't have the Affordable Care Act back then. And so I would travel the state and meet with small business owners all the time who could not afford health care for themselves or their employees. And so we are farther ahead than we were back then. What's happening now in D.C. is this annual process mm-hmm. of Congress coming together to pass a federal budget. And this year, they're unlike the recent past, there are proposals on the table to make truly massive cuts to Medicaid, to food assistance, to other programs. But we're focused a lot on Medicaid this morning, as this report that Eileen will speak to. And it's important for everyone to understand Medicaid is access. Mm-hmm. So in Arizona, Medicaid is access. When we're talking about the Arizona Healthcare Cost Containment System, that is Medicaid for Arizona. 2 million Arizonans get their healthcare through access. And it's just a very important part of the way Arizona works when it comes to healthcare. And so, as you mentioned, I mean, whether someone is, you know, maybe it's a young person who has 2 part-time jobs, but they don't have health
benefits,
insurance.
Right.
You know, it could be someone who's out in one of the rural communities that does not have a lot of employers, or if they do, they don't have employer-sponsored health insurance. And of course, 40% of all the enrollees at Access are kids. They're our little ones. They're children. So access is really important in people's lives, and it's also a very important part of our healthcare system. When I worked at Access, I remember meeting with other states, and you would hear this term Medicaid mills happen. In their states, only some providers took Medicaid. It wasn't the way Arizona built our Medicaid agency. Arizona was actually the last state in the entire country to create a Medicaid program.
But and I bet a lot of people don't know that. They're probably just assuming that it's been here all along, and no, it's something that was done with intention.
Absolutely. And by being the last state, we said we're going to do it different. Many other states have copied what we've done because we created private-public partnerships, and we have health plans that work, private sector health plans that work with our Medicaid agency. And so it's just really integrated into our system. If you receive your insurance through Access, you're going to the same doctors, nurse practitioners, the same, all the providers, you know, whether that's for prenatal, you know, OBGYN, or that's for cancer treatment. You're going to the same doctors as everyone else, and that just makes it so important for us.
Well, thank you for that. I know that we actually have a caller right now on the line, and Eileen, if you don't mind, before I get over to you, let's hear what our caller Michael has. I don't know if it's a comment or a question, but I think he might have something to say here. We're talking about access and access to access. So, Michael, let's hear from you. Thank you for calling in.
Oh, hello. Good morning. I want to thank Ms. Contreras for all of her hard work. I know it's got to be tough getting all these different factions together to come together, but I know she's done some great things in Washington, D.C. I followed her career very closely. Mm-hmm. But my question is, you're welcome, ma'am. There's a press conference. Is that today, or how do you get more information on from the, you know, as far as getting the media involved and all of the journalists that I know also need medical access, etc.?
Michael, you bring up a good point. January, I think he's talking about the event you're holding this afternoon. Children's Action Alliance is holding a media event celebrating moms, but also bringing community leaders and other service providers together to talk about the value that health and nutrition programs like Medicaid, SNAP, and others do provide across a broad spectrum. Are you asking, Michael, how does the media participate in that?
Well, I was told that there were going to be congressmen there, or I'd really like to have a sit down with some of my representatives on this issue. I can't believe that they're not going to renew Medicaid, Medicare, et cetera, SNAP, you know.
Well, actually, I think that this event is to help inform folks like you, whether you be a member of the media or part of the community, on how you might advocate yourself, how you might contact your representatives, and the kinds of things you can do to help protect the budget dollars that go toward Medicaid, Access, SNAP, and other programs, and how you can share your voice. Also, how you can get more involved with Children's Action Alliance as an advocacy group. January, what am I forgetting out of that?
No, I think that's right. We won't have a member of Congress there because we are gathering as community to, yes, speak with media, but also to speak with community and make sure that we're all lifting our voices. No matter what your voice is, you understand how important Medicaid is. Right now, Congress has put on paper that they are going to target Medicaid for $880 billion in cuts. That's a historic cut to Medicaid across this country. And in Arizona, what we know is that's likely to make 500,000, half a million people lose their health insurance right away. So I appreciate your comments. I appreciate your interest. And we need you and we need everybody really paying attention to this issue. So I thank you.
Michael, if you're in the Southern Arizona area or Tucson area, please feel free to come by the Community Foundation of Southern Arizona building on East Broadway. And this event will be going on from 2:30 to 3:30. You can meet with some other folks and find out how to get more involved. And if not, please pay attention to our social media as we'll be posting things out. And I'm hearing the music. Thanks for calling in. I'm going to have to go to commercial break. And when we come back, we'll talk to Eileen Klein. And we're back. Thank you for joining us this Monday, May 12th, an early Monday morning. We are Rainmakers, and I am your host, Lydia Aranda. My guests this morning have been January Contreras of the Children's Action Alliance and Eileen Klein of Arizona Chamber Foundation. Right before the break, we actually had a caller that was asking some really interesting questions about how to get more involved, particularly today and particularly in Tucson. But I think his question was really valid for anybody around the state. If they are wanting to share their voice, to learn how to advocate on behalf of stronger budgets for healthcare in Arizona, Children's Action Alliance and the Arizona Chamber Foundation are two of the resources that they can turn to learn more, to share their voice in January. Thank you so much for what you were sharing about the intricacies about our access to access, that would be AHCCCS, our Arizona Healthcare Cost Containment System, which is such a great provider of health care for families, individuals, small businesses, employees, young adults, college students, and of course, children and our elderly. So it's really important to hone in on that. And I wonder if we might speak now with you, Eileen, to tell our listeners a little bit more about the report that the Chamber Foundation commissioned to really understand more clearly the economic impact of what would happen if budget cuts were severe.
Right, happy to. And this is one of those issues that deserves the kind of time and format that you're providing it. Some of these issues are complex, and how Medicaid is organized, even though the purpose and intent is very simple, to make sure that people who need the support can get access to quality healthcare wherever they reside. That's a very simple concept, but the system itself can be a bit complicated. We know there will be a lot of focus, as there should be, on the impacts to the people involved in the system, what it means for their coverage. But as a business community, we also wanted to take a very close look at the economic impacts associated with Medicaid and what the reductions would mean for our state's economy. As January pointed out a few minutes ago, Medicaid is fully integrated in our healthcare system. It is fully integrated, and it's a key pillar of our healthcare economy. Now, just for some context, that's 500,000 healthcare jobs in Arizona. It's our second largest employment sector and one of the fastest growing. Now, not all of those jobs are related to Medicaid, of course, but Medicaid plays a key role because so many people in Arizona utilize Medicaid. And let's come back to that in just a minute and talk really about the reach and importance of Medicaid. But from an economic perspective, we wanted to understand what would potential cuts mean. So we know that Congress a few months back staked out a goal of about $880 billion in reductions. So we wanted to take a look at what would be Arizona's share of that target. It hasn't been decided how the cuts would come down, but we know that with the commentary and the efforts to protect Medicare and also other areas of the budget, that Medicaid would be particularly vulnerable. That's what's putting Medicaid so much in the spotlight right now. So based on the analysis of Arizona's share of the cuts, we began to take a closer look at what does it mean for every $1 billion in reduction of federal spending, and then ultimately what happens if other changes get made within the program about the expansion population in particular. We can dive into that in a little more detail, but the bottom line is pretty clear that for every $1 billion that gets cut at the federal level in Arizona, that is going to mean the loss of thousands of jobs, some 36,000 jobs for every $1 billion that gets cut. Some of those are healthcare jobs, obviously, but think of all the other jobs in the community that get supported with the spend that comes from having those resources and those professionals available. There's also the loss of all of the economic input and, of course, the tax revenues. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to take a comprehensive look at that. We can dive more into it as we have time here, but it's a very, very clear case that Medicaid plays an important part in our healthcare economy and in our overall economic performance in Arizona.
Thank you for going into that. And I think sometimes it's easy, it may be easy for folks to forget that Arizona, among many of its reasons for being popular and welcoming for people to either visit or have second homes or live here seasonally, part of that is based on the health aspect that our climate has been famous for. Medical tourism is a term that comes to mind, but also the small businesses around therapy, nutrition, healing, and particularly in southern Arizona, so much of that has been a big draw of why people come and choose to either visit here for a long extended period or even live here permanently. It's all related to that health aspect. It's how so many people came from other states or even other countries. Because of our climate, our ability to move around, the access to also different kinds of cultural approaches to health and wellness. So it really, as you put it, does tie into many industries, many sub-industries, lots of businesses and service providers, as well as public agencies, aspects about affordability and such. And of course, U of A, famous for medical school and the Zuckerman School of Public Health and so many other things. There's just a lot tied into this industry overall. And those are things that sometimes folks don't think about when they're hearing simply about budget cuts. And it's important to think about it from that aspect to be a little bit more maybe proactive in how we come up with the right kind of solution. Everybody knows that we have to balance budgets no matter whether we're local, state, or national. But how we do it and what we slash, so to speak, versus perhaps realign or just decrease, it takes a lot of thought, takes some strategy. January, so you and Eileen had a webinar last week We also heard from Congressman Stanton during that webinar, but you were speaking exactly about this, about the issues that are impacting our state and the economy. Were you excited to hear so much more about this report?
I was, and to be honest, Children's Action Alliance, we are a leader in this and a part of a national network that we get intel from D.C. right away. And so I shared with them what the Arizona Chamber Foundation had done with this report, and many states said, oh, we want to talk to our chamber to try to get that done too. It's just brilliant because people don't really, I guess, look at the equivalent, right? When we get federal money for our roads, for our freeways, for new bridges, I mean, we understand that is great.
Bridges or beaches.
You know, that's just excellent news.
Yes.
And sometimes people don't understand that this healthcare money that we get, that the federal government is in partnership with us in a big way, it also is investing in our economy. And, you know, when it comes to kids and families, we don't want them to lose care. And we also don't want the, you know, mom or dad to lose their job if they're in the healthcare economy.
Exactly.
So this report makes a big difference.
It really does. It brings all those issues to light. Eileen, just I know we have just a couple minutes before we go to our next break, so I don't want to do too deep of a dive, but maybe leave our listeners wanting more. So when you're exploring some of the aspects of industry that is affected, you spoke about it already a little bit, but that domino effect of major industry and then all the associated service providers, vendors, therapists, specialists, what comes to my mind also are some of those folks who are in more independent work, like radiology, or they may be a traveling nurse to provide home home health care or in-home care, even palliative care. I'm going to imagine some of these things all get affected, or nutrition, meals on wheels, and other things. There's just so much around health and wellness, and I start to think about safety as well. Safety coming from I'm thinking of first responders, you know, law enforcement and first responders, paramedics and such, when the unexpected happens, a car accident, some other kind of injury on the job or just walking down the street in Tucson. We think a lot because of the dark streets or darker streets, pedestrian vehicle interaction is far more frequent than we would like to see it. So it isn't just about annual visits to the doctor. It's about what happens when you have a crisis illness or a crisis emergency. And if you didn't have coverage, that's not only devastating, but it's an extra burden on our hospitals and ERs. Are those kind of things mentioned in this report or thought of with the connection to that bottom line?
Yes, we tried to take a look at exactly those great points you're making, that it is about the full spectrum of healthcare services that the Medicaid participants, the enrollees, receive. So if you have access insurance, then you get an access card. And whether it's an emergency situation, a annual checkup, or access to specialty care like a cancer treatment, radiology, all of the comprehensive services that you can imagine with healthcare are all included as part of the program, as they should be for people who need access to that level of care. But what's critical for people to understand is that this isn't just a matter of those services and benefits going away for the people who are enrolled in the program, but imagine what it will do to a community if the cuts come down and providers, healthcare, individual healthcare providers, physicians and specialty leaders or hospitals have to begin making difficult decisions in a community. Do they continue the services? Do they discontinue the services? And it will be very, very difficult for our rural communities in particular. They are the most vulnerable in this, and they are most at risk of losing lines of services or seeing hospitals potentially close. This will make the difference in whether there's actually a hospital service in a community or whether that community is only going to have a helipad or some other way of transporting them to another area. It's very, very serious. So how the cuts get made the extent to which they're made and how quickly they get made are going to be very key factors. And it's one of the reasons that we all need to be aware that this is an issue for all of Arizona, not just for people who are enrolled in the Access Insurance Program.
You make such a good point, and especially in the rural and outlying communities. And we think about that a lot here in Southern Arizona. Not everybody has all of the services. So we'll talk more about that when we get back from our next break. You're listening to Rainmakers, the Morning Voice on KVOI 1030 AM. This is Lady Aranda on Rainmakers here on The Morning Voice. It's Monday, May 12th, and we have been speaking with and listening to January Contreras and Eileen Klein. This morning, we are speaking about health, healthcare, the industry, the budgets. It's important to everybody. Everyone needs it to be more affordable and more accessible. And right before the break, Eileen was sharing with us the impact, the economic impact that can happen from so many different angles if there were severe cuts to the budgeting that makes access or Medicaid possible. And one of the points you brought up, Eileen, was related to programs and accessibility and affordability and just the availability of services in our rural communities of Arizona. And I think you bring up such a good point there, because already there are fewer services, fewer doctors and nurses, perhaps fewer clinics or even hospitals. And so to reduce that even further, or to hit the jobs that some of the folks may have in those communities because they work at those establishments or they provide those kind of services, is kind of a double hit. Something that we really want to avoid if possible. And one of the ways to avoid that is to really get more engaged in the advocacy and sharing our voice. January, tell us more about that point. I know that the Children's Action Alliance, in its advocacy, makes sure to be listening and speaking with and speaking on behalf of all four corners of our great state. What's going on lately with the outreach all across the state? And talk about that devastation if something happens in a rural community.
Thank you. And I couldn't agree more with Eileen on that point. So Children's Action Alliance, we are a statewide organization, and we take that responsibility very seriously. So we're everywhere from Coconino County to Cochise County to Yuma County, and later this summer get to Mojave. We understand by listening to people who live in rural Arizona that there are a lot of accessibility challenges. So the point that Eileen made in terms of if we have these drastic cuts and our healthcare providers all over will be struggling, that creates true financial strain. Then in these rural communities where already sometimes people have to travel hours to see a specialist, they already don't have all the specialists they need right within a half-hour drive the way that people in other parts of the state do. Mm-hmm. If we remove all of this financing, you take Cochise County. In Cochise County, more than a third of residents in Cochise County gain their health insurance through Access. If we remove all
more
of that,
than a third.
More than a third.
That's
Cochise
a significant part of a community.
Sure is. And so if we remove health insurance for all those folks, you have what, you know, is called uncompensated care is the term in healthcare, where people no longer have insurance to help them pay for their healthcare services, but their needs are still there. So
sure.
You look at that car accident and someone shows up to the hospital, no longer has access, and that becomes uncompensated care, and that creates different problems. But one of those problems is, can that rural hospital stay in business if
they can't receive revenues?
That's right.
And the burden that if folks can't afford to go into their physician's office or another care facility for standard treatment, they're going to overburden going into an ER or an urgent care center, and then that makes it it just makes it all unbalanced. Eileen, I think those are some of the things that your report is addressing as well, correct?
Absolutely. And really taking a hard look at January said about really what the distribution is for the Access Program across every county. And some counties have up to or even over 50% of the population who depend on Access for their insurance coverage. But we know that the benefits of having those services in a community apply to everybody. So this really is an issue that could put all Arizonans at risk, depending on how those networks change. Also, as you pointed out, the importance to small business. Medicaid was expanded to try to remedy the uninsured problem and has largely been successful at that over the past decade. The marketplace has changed a lot, so more people are counting on Access for their coverage, along with individual insurance subsidies if you're independently employed. But because, as you pointed out, so many businesses in Arizona are small business, the overwhelming majority of our businesses in the state are small business. They and even big business were big supporters of the expansion of Medicaid 10 years ago to help remedy the uninsured problem, knowing that insurance affordability was going to be an issue. So this would be, if the cuts were to be levied the way that the targets are currently set, this would be a fundamental reset of state budgets, of our healthcare system.
Well, we'll leave it there. And we're back in our second hour segment of Monday, May 12th. This is Rainmakers. I am Lydia Aranda, your host every Monday morning here at KVOI, The Voice, on the Morning Voice Positive Talk Radio. So excited to be coming out of a wonderful Mother's Day weekend. And here's not only celebrating, and I know January, I think you had a lot of family events this weekend. It's so nice to have you here down south in Tucson this morning here in studio talking about Children's Action Alliance and the advocacy for healthcare for families, children, and all that is surrounded on that issue. So glad to have you.
Thank you. Really glad to be here with you, Lydia.
And we have online Eileen Klein, president of Arizona Chamber Foundation and our former Arizona State Treasurer, speaking about the bottom line impact that happens if cuts to Access take place. Not just little cuts. We're not talking about little decreases, but what's being proposed around the country and the impact that would have in our state if huge federal cuts take place. Eileen, you've been sharing about the devastation that would happen not just to the straightforward number of people affected who otherwise depend on having insurance through our statewide Access program, but also what could happen, especially in rural communities, what could happen to certain jobs, the domino effect of devastation that would take place. And you were just mentioning right before the break that in Cochise County alone, or I think January, you may have said this, one of you talked about the fact that one third of Cochise County residents rely on the health care provisions provided by Access. That's a large amount of people, and that is, I'm going to imagine, a cross-section of demographics. That is young people, children, heads of household, families, but also small business owners, seniors and elderly, veterans. I know we have a very big veteran base all across Cochise County. And we're talking teachers and other kinds of professionals. That's a lot of different folks impacted by what could happen. And we're hearing all over, not just here on our show this morning, but all over radio and the news wires. Today is a big day that this topic is being discussed all over the place. Eileen, mm-hmm. What are you hearing in your other channels? What kinds of things are you seeing being brought up?
Thanks, Lydia. And I'm so grateful again that you are at the forefront of this issue for your listeners and for the community. It is the absolute top topic right now in Washington, D.C. and our state. And as you pointed out, this is not a partisan issue anymore. Medicaid is available to everyone, and there isn't a system set up for any particular party. It's for all of Arizona, and all of our policymakers are grappling with what to do about the targets that have been set for federal budget reductions and to make sure that Medicaid still works in our state. So we've seen all of Congress now lining up. There isn't even continuity within the parties about what they think about how to make any budget reductions at this point, because this generation of policymakers is now becoming very acquainted with how many people in their communities, no matter how they vote, how much they need and rely on access services, and how much business depends on having that insurance coverage. So this morning we're hearing all the topics about what the bills in Congress look like. There are many, many proposals about how to make reductions. Again, we don't know how that will come down. We are just very focused in understanding that for all of the dollars that get reduced at the federal level, it poses a tremendous challenge for our states. Our state government will have to decide, our legislature will have to decide, do they try to backfill and mitigate those federal cuts? And if not, then those cuts flow through and they will impact the provider community, as we talked about in the last segment, and all of the difficult choices that our doctors and hospitals and others will have to make that will have an impact on our entire healthcare system. So that is the topic that is on the top of the list today in Congress and will quickly become a top of the list issue here in Arizona.
Thank you, Eileen. And I think for those points that you have made about this being a top issue, January, you and your team at Children's Action Alliance and your advisory committees and your board members and all of the other folks that you interact with, you really were right on the ball when you said we need to make sure to be also hosting events where the community leaders, the nonprofit leaders, agency leaders can come out and perhaps get more clarity on the issues or find out how to engage with you. And that is one of the things that you're also doing later today here in Tucson, among other places, and among kicking off kind of a series of touch-ins, because it seems to us that also with Congress so busy, with our senators and congressional leaders being busy in D.C., there, and for a lot of other reasons, there have not been quite as many sort of town hall events, if you will, around this. So to be able to work with folks like you and Eileen and have other connections to give their input, to ask the questions, and to find out how to be involved, that's one of the things that you are doing. And we're so grateful to have you down, really putting a spotlight on Southern Arizona, including our outlying communities. So thank you for that. Tell us a little bit more, pulling on what Eileen was bringing up. There is a lot of bipartisan history, not just recently, but even in the past. I'm thinking about some of the actions that former Governor Brewer took to make sure that more Medicare dollars were coming our way.
Absolutely. And you mentioned town halls. I did have the privilege of moderating a town hall with Senator Kelly and Senator Gallego. Those two guys, they are 100% clear that they support Medicaid and SNAP and that they are going to be opposing cuts. So our education is around people sharing their stories, but in particular with their members of the House of Representatives. Now, when it comes to that bipartisan history, you know, I want everyone in Arizona to know. I want to shout it from the mountaintops. Access has a very bipartisan history of support in Arizona. Let's think back to, oh gosh, I want to say 2000, Prop 204. Mm-hmm. Arizona voters were asked the question about, do we want to expand access, the Arizona Healthcare Cost Containment System, Arizona's Medicaid agency, do we want to expand access to reach more low-income folks who won't have health insurance any other way? Arizona voters said yes. So we have a voter mandate, really, in Arizona to keep access coverage in place for voters, for Arizonans. We made that decision. Then you fast forward to when the Affordable Care Act was on the front of our newspapers all over the country. And we remember our own Senator John McCain and his mm-hmm. thumbs down, and he saying, this Affordable Care Act, access to health insurance, it matters to folks. I'm not going to be the one to take it away. Because of the ACA, the Affordable Care Act, every state then had the opportunity to expand, to cover more people, and that was with a federal-state partnership with the federal government kicking in a lot of those funds, recognizing it's good for the country to have healthy people. It's good for the country to have access to health care. And it was at that time we had got through the Great Recession. We had to freeze health care for a time. But After that, we had this opportunity, and I let Eileen talk about this because she was chief of staff to Governor Brewer at the time. Mm-hmm. But Governor Brewer and the Republican legislature, they came together and they decided, yes, we are going to do this. We are going to take advantage of this federal-state partnership to ensure people, more people, have access to health care in Arizona. And Eileen, I'll turn it to you. But I think Eileen gets some credit there being a part of Governor Brewer's leadership team.
Absolutely. And I'll toss it back over to you, Eileen. I think the point that this has had such historical bipartisan support, and also both of you were talking about this approach to serving a state, to serving the people of a state with a program as robust as this, has now, even though we were the last state, I think you said, second to last or the absolute last state to establish something like this. Once we did, it was intentional, it was inclusive, it was thoughtful about all the aspects and industries that would be impacted. And now is a model that other states have continued to follow. And Eileen, you were speaking also about the report that you commissioned to understand the current, the real-time impact that would occur if severe budget cuts took place, that also being a model for other states. So really, you have been at the forefront of quite a lot of pilots and models, both of you.
Well, I think it's been a terrific community effort, and it's so Arizona, isn't it? It's
yes.
So on-brand for Arizona
exactly.
To be pragmatic, problem-solving, doing it our way, but in a way that works for everybody here, and mm-hmm. lots of people being involved. And this is just another such moment in this story. This is not the end of the story. We're at a different place now in how Medicaid is designed, in our federal-state relationship. Some of the changes that were made in the past year were to also help ameliorate the effects of the Great Recession, to make sure that, you know, during a time when people really were without jobs and without coverage, that we were able to make changes to make sure that they had insurance available to them. And now we're in this next era of figuring out what will be the state and federal relationship. We have new policymakers, but what isn't going to change is the very difficult job that has to be done by our policymakers to evaluate the facts. We at the Chamber Foundation wanted to provide that report for exactly that reason. Let's mm-hmm. operate off the facts. Arizona is known for, yes, at moments being, you know, flexing its muscle and being independent in the way it does things, but at the same time being very pragmatic. This is another such moment where our policymakers are going to have the courage and really come together, transcend the boundaries of partisan politics, and do what is going to work for Arizona and for its healthcare system today. I have every confidence they can get there. It might take some back and forth, but what it's really going to need is for everybody in our state to pay attention and to really send those strong messages, decide for themselves, and help engage with their delegation leaders to say, this matters to me and my family and my neighbors, and here's what I think about it. And I think that programs like yours are really helping to really get people educated on what the program looks like today and how important it is to our entire state.
Thank you so much. Well, we appreciate that support and enthusiasm about us being an informative and positive talk channel. And we hope that our listeners are really, I believe they're learning a lot. And we'll have more to say after this next commercial break. You're listening to Rainmakers with Eileen Klein, January Contreras, and I'm your host, Lydia Aranda. And we're back this morning with the Morning Voice and the Rainmakers segment, which is our Monday show. I'm your host, Lydia Aranda, and we've been speaking this morning with January Contreras of Children's Action Alliance and Eileen Klein of the Arizona Chamber Foundation, speaking with both ladies about healthcare, about our community, about the importance of all of our children and families and all of our Arizonans having access to be able to get the care that they need for their health and wellness, and our Arizona healthcare cost containment system, fondly known as ACCESS, is a big part of that and is facing potential major budget cuts. And we want to make sure to do what we can to protect those budgets so that we protect our Arizonans. January, thank you again for being here this morning and talking about the many aspects of this. But where we started this morning was talking about what Children's Action Alliance does for this issue. And we are coming together because Children's Action Alliance is a preeminent leader in being a voice of advocacy on behalf of our families, our mothers, our seniors, our children, those who take care of our children and help our future generations grow. And this is a big part of that. I think as we have a caller on the line, I understand. Arcelia will be asking a question, but right before we go to our caller, I wonder if you'll tell us quickly, January, again, the mission of Children's Action Alliance and connecting to this issue.
Thank you, Lydia. We're so glad to be a part of the Rainmaker Show today. Children's Action Alliance, which I have the privilege of leading, has been around in Arizona for 37 years. They were created when our founder said, there's all these lobbyists for others, why not for kids? And Children's Action Alliance was born, and we are advocating for children's health, their safety, their learning, their safe spaces for childcare, and economic security. And we do that with policymakers, and we do that with community, because you, in the community, you're the ones who really know what you're experiencing, what works and what doesn't. We listen, and then we take your voices really to policymakers.
And that is such an important role, to have those liaisons to interact with folks like the Arizona Chamber and the Chamber Foundation, as well as Capitol Hill, our local Capitol Hill, as well as our national Capitol Hill. Before we go any further, let's hear what Arcelia says, or maybe she has a question. Arcelia, thanks for calling into Rainmakers. It's Lydia here.
Hey.
Buenos días, Arcelia. Gracias por llamar.
Hi, soy Arcelia.
Hi, Arcelia.
No quiero que corte el Medicare porque tengo 74 años y yo estoy usándolo.
Well, thank you. Gracias. Es muy importante guardarlo y gracias por llamar aquí esta mañana.
I've been here 54 years in the United States.
54 years, Arcelia. It sounds like you have not only you have worked here, raised a family here, and have been lucky to have medical benefits. Is that kind of what I'm hearing?
Yes.
Well, thank you. And you now are dependent. Are you retired?
Yes.
So, as a retiree, you receive services from Medicare, and it sounds like it's very important to you that you want to make sure that that's not cut. For any of our listeners who may not have understood what she was saying, Ms. Arcelia has been here as a worker in Arizona. She has thrived, raised a family, and now wants to make sure that we hear her voice. So this is one of the ways, January, that we're connecting to community.
Happy Mother's Day.
Oh, gracias, Arcelia. Happy Mother's Day to you as well. Thank you for calling. And see, that's what we do at Rainmakers. We receive input and we help connect and get the issues out. And it sounds like Arcelia was very passionate about this issue. And I think you hear from folks like that all the time, January. Is that correct?
We do. Earlier, you made me think about a teacher, because we do ask people, can you share your stories? And of course, many are healthcare providers, nurses, pediatricians, others. They may provide occupational therapy or physical therapy to children with disabilities. But we also hear from folks who do get access through access. They get their healthcare through access. Mm-hmm. We had a teacher in a southern Arizona city who has a rather large family. He has many children, him and his wife. His wife doesn't work because they have so many little ones that they can't afford childcare. Mm-hmm. And so for him, the only way it worked was to be on access. And he shared his story, and he wanted us to know that, you know, it still can be hard. Even when you have a full-time job, that it can be hard to afford healthcare for all of your family. And, you know, there's lots of folks like that who they don't have time to share their story so often, right? People are busy working. But now is the time to do that, whether you are a healthcare provider or whether you're, you know, a 20-something-year-old with two or three part-time jobs, you know, who want to share your story, or whether you're a mother or a grandmother. You know, one of the things we know about Access is that 60% of nursing home stays are paid for through Access.
And I bet folks don't know that data point, and it's such an important one, because nursing home stays are, if you don't pay, you don't get to be there. And that's so important, not just for our elderly who might be in nursing homes. Sometimes it's other adults or other people who just need that extra care, who need the attention and services and therapies, who need somebody helping with their care. And yeah, those rates go pretty high. It is nearly impossible for anybody to afford without some sort of insurance.
That's true.
You spoke about teachers. We spoke about those, not only children, but those who care for children are part of the targeted constituency of Children's Action Alliance. Sorry, I was getting my little tongue tied there. I need my caffeine to kick back in. And those aren't always parents. Those can be grandparents,
Absolutely.
Other kinds of family members who care for young ones. Teachers certainly are in that formula. But it could be older siblings that are taking care of little ones, and certainly our child care providers. Lots and lots of folks who may be gainfully employed, but maybe still not have enough for private insurance, or maybe in an industry where their employer is not providing this. So really, the gamut is far and wide of people who benefit from Medicare and Medicaid. And part of that is also nutrition. SNAP, the program that helps provide extra food assistance or extra funding for food and access to food. You know, staying healthy is so dependent on our nutrition, the rest we get, having some stability in a home environment to get that rest and feed ourselves and just be safe with a roof over our heads. I mean, there are a lot of things that come into play here, but healthcare should not be something only left for a few. And you are making sure at Children's Action Alliance that you are bringing that point home and saying, however important it is to have care be available for our youngest and most vulnerable. And I am hearing a little bit of music in the background there. I think we're going to our next commercial break. Please stay tuned for more with Rainmakers. We're back on Rainmakers. I'm your host, Lydia Aranda. And this Monday morning, May 12th, we've been speaking with January Contreras, Executive Director of Children's Action Alliance, a statewide advocacy group for children and families, and Eileen Klein, the President of the Arizona Chamber Foundation, doing so much work at the foundation, Eileen, with reports and research, but also programs like Civic Bee and other kinds of civic engagement that bring youth and young professionals into the mix, into the conversation, as well as industry leaders and other public affairs folks. Thank you, ladies, both of you, for being here this morning. We've been excited here at KVOI and Rainmakers to have you on to talk about an issue that's important to everybody, healthcare and access to healthcare, which in Arizona means access to access, the Arizona Healthcare Cost Containment System. And we've spoken about many things, like Arizona has been a model in setting up access, a model to other states, but also in the way that the Chamber Foundation is commissioning reports and getting out and about with other folks to talk about real-time data and real-time impact to community and industry. All of those things are so important around this issue that is top of mind, not just here in Arizona, but all around our country. Eileen, I want to thank you for having brought up and shared so much information, and I want to make sure that folks know that they can also not just hear these snippets, but they can actually see the reports or see the slides, I'm going to assume, on your website, but also we can help put that out. Tell us how folks can learn more about that if they'd like to dig into the data.
That would be great. We will, with the reports are available already through the Arizona Chamber Foundation website or the Arizona Chamber, azchamber.com website. You can access the reports themselves, but we'd be happy to send those along, and to the extent that you can help post and distribute those too. It's just a great resource, again, to get some of the facts out there. We have 1 in 4 in Arizona who rely on access for their insurance coverage, compared to 1 in 5 in the US. So it's especially important for Arizona, and we'd be happy to share those reports and information so people can understand that as the federal government makes changes, it's going to have very widespread impacts on our state, and we need to be prepared as a community to engage with our policymakers to make sure that the healthcare and access to healthcare remains in place, especially for those who need it most.
Thank you so much. And absolutely, we will do our part to continue to make the information available, to be a liaison and connector, a conduit, if you will, and help post the slides, the reports, and links of such. So thank you again for speaking to that and reminding our listeners that not only can they hear about this on shows like Rainmakers and KVOI station, but that the information and the reports are available for them to peruse as well. January, Children's Action Alliance does an awful lot of work and has a lot of slides and reports and information available too, not only on your website, but you take time and your team takes time as well, together with policymakers and with your regional advisory committees, to gather in person, or to give people at least the opportunity to do that. You will be hosting an event this afternoon that is one of many to share the information and bring people together, community leaders in particular around this, and nonprofit leaders in today's example, this afternoon out at Community Foundation of Southern Arizona's campus, where folks will be able to speak with each other. They'll be able to hear some information from you and other keynote speakers. But most importantly, they will be able to find out how to not only stay involved, but be an advocate themselves. So in that light, I thought it important for people to know ahead of time that you've already been building many coalitions. In fact, last year, the Children's Action Alliance launched Families First Coalition, which was a brand new gathering of similar organizations to come together around the issues of family and children's services. Tell us a little more about that.
Yeah, thank you for that question. So Children's Action Alliance last year kicked off our Families First Coalition with our inaugural Families First Forum. And it's really designed to break down some of the silos that exist between organizations and communities. So the bottom line is that it's a tough time for families. Housing costs are going up. It costs more at the grocery store and you bring home less. Now we have health care. Will people lose their health care in the mix? It is a tough time. And so we wanted to bring folks together from all the different areas. So from housing, from people who work on economic security, people who work in healthcare, people who work in childcare, early
and
learning,
education. Mm-hmm.
Education, absolutely. And recognize we are serving the same folks. We believe in the same children, meaning all children,
all of
Arizona.
Children of Arizona.
That's right. And we want to work together. We want to learn about each other's areas. So how do we become a champion for one another's issues, for example, in service to making Arizona the number one place for children and families in this entire country. And I believe we can do that.
I appreciate that. And I want to bring attention to, so often the mission of Children's Action Alliance is stated as, and then you say this often in your commentary, that you advocate for meaningful legislation and smart policies that improve the lives of Arizona families and Arizona children. I love meaningful legislation and smart policies, because smart policies mean a whole lot. It means they're well thought out. It means that the potential consequences have been thought through. It means also what you said about building this coalition, that there are so many people or so many organizations that may be functioning in silos. We want to try our best to mitigate duplicity, but at the same time leverage and amplify that those multiple channels. So it's okay if people are in the same or similar space, but rather than just duplicating, we want to say, well, okay, you such and so organization, please go focus on this, and we will help you by bringing, you know, X to your Y.
And, that's right.
And I think when we do that, we make our state a much smarter state.
Thank you. I appreciate that. We have, for example, my colleagues at Children's Action Alliance down in Eloy this afternoon at a Head Start program, right? And so we're all over the place, and we're really
dividing
trying to,
and conquering.
Yes, absolutely.
Like leveraging and going in multiple channels, because we can work in parallel. We can be doing things, moving in different speeds and different directions. And that's the power of coalition. That's the power of collaborative solutions. Sounds to me like the forum went really well last year, and some good ideas may have been shared. If people want to learn more about that, they can also go to your website. Yes?
They can. They can go to azchildren.org. That's a Children's Action Alliance website. And I also want to mention, we have one what's called a microsite website, because it's so small, but defendourhealthcareaz.com. defendourhealthcareaz.com. For those of you that are listening and you're ready to say, yeah, I want my member of Congress to know this is important to me, whether that's you know, someone you know, you love, you serve, yourself, you can go to this very small website, learn some facts about the importance of Medicaid and access in Arizona, and also at the end of it, you'll see a box that you can check, and it'll connect you directly with your member of Congress, so you can share, you know, what is the impact of this to you?
I think that's so important to give people access. Sometimes it gets folks find it complicated. Those of us who are doing this often, you know, we get used to our little speed channels, if you will, of how to connect with each other or how to get a message out. But we have to remember that by and large, our listeners, our community, people who are going about their daily lives, they may be intimidated, or they just may not know how is the best, most expedient way to get in touch with my representative, so I can share what I think, so I can give that intelligent message, and or ask questions. And so if they can go to defendourhealthcareaz.com and read the information there, but also scroll down. I think when I've seen it, it's been at the bottom, how to connect in. But also I think there's a button that says share your story. And as you mentioned, both of you, Eileen and January, were mentioning that it is important to your organizations that you hear from the public. And that's part of what I'm so excited to be hopefully helping to do by spreading the word, but also being engaged in following up with both of you to help support the events and the outreach and the other forums that you all will be holding, and make sure that we get that information out. Eileen, you mentioned azchamber.org is a good website for folks to check out, not only past reports and events that have happened through the Arizona Chamber of Commerce and Industry, but in there is then also a hot button to go over to the Arizona Foundation and learn more about the work that you're doing. Yes?
Yes. And that's at the statewide level, the statewide Chamber of Commerce. I also think for your listeners who are actively involved in their own communities locally, all of the chambers have signed on as part of a coalition to make sure that our congressional delegation here in Arizona hears from them and understands their concerns around the economic impacts, and again, reaffirms the importance of the Access Medicaid program and other programs to the continuity of the benefits they can provide as employers. And so there are many ways that your listeners can engage, both formally and informally, but I didn't want them to think that they could only engage at the statewide level. Right there in the local community, local chambers of commerce and other organizations, chances are they've been involved, they've already helped raise awareness, but they'll also be counting on hearing from local members of the community.
That's fantastic and a great reminder. We just last week had a big, or almost a little over a week ago, had a big kickoff of our new combined or collaborative chamber in the area. It is now called the Chamber of Southern Arizona. And so that is bringing a lot more folks who may have been split up between different chambers and Sun Corridor and different groups. They are a little bit more collective now in the sense of a place to get answers, to get involved, to find the information and resources that they need for our businesses and our business owners and the community at large. We're about to go to our last commercial break, so let's keep it in mind. Please stay tuned, Rainmakers. We will be back shortly. Thanks for having listened this Monday morning, May 12th. This is Rainmakers on The Morning Voice, KVOI, and I'm your host every Monday, Lydia Aranda. It has been a pleasure to be speaking about so many important issues and the way that people can get involved, especially here in Southern Arizona, on statewide issues that we all care about. I've had Eileen Klein from the Arizona Arizona Chamber Foundation with us this morning, as well as January Contreras and the Children's Action Alliance, which is a statewide advocacy group on behalf of children and families. Eileen, thank you so much for taking the time this morning. I know you have so much on your plate. You're busy with many, many issues. Last week, had the pleasure of seeing you on a webinar about so much informative information, much of which you've been able to share with us this morning. Tell us what our listeners might, if they, in a quick hit, what they might need to remember about how to get involved or why preserving access to health care is important to everyone in Arizona.
Well, thanks, Lydia, and thanks for the opportunity to join you this morning and to be by January's side as she talks about her work. I think we can all agree that Arizona's children and families could not have a more expert, passionate, and professional leader at the helm of Children's Action Alliance and leading on behalf of all people in our state to improve opportunity and well-being. Our report at the Arizona Chamber Foundation is very simple. It estimates the economic impact associated with the proposed cuts to Medicaid. They are a big, big deal. It is the top policy issue at the federal level and will be for our state. For every $1 billion that gets cut in federal monies, those are dollars that flow through to our communities, and our state will be faced with a very difficult choice of backfilling or hopefully not, but potentially passing on those cuts to providers. It's going to impact every single Arizonan. And to learn more, we encourage you to go to the arizonachamberfoundation.org, azchamberfoundation.org, to get the report and engage in your community. Just show up, learn more, speak your mind. It's going to help our policymakers find the right, best course for Arizona and to make sure that we have the healthcare that all Arizonans need.
Thank you so much. So arizonachamberfoundation.org. Did I get that right?
Right.
Great. We want to make sure that folks have access to the information, and I'd like to invite you to come back in future to talk about many other issues as will be coming up throughout the summer and the rest of the year. It's such a pleasure to have you connected, especially with our Southern Arizona listeners. Thank you, Eileen.
Thank you.
January, it's been wonderful to have you talking about Children's Action Alliance. We have known each other for so many years, and the kind of work that you have done to ensure that Arizonans are safer, happier, healthier, without hunger, and doing this in so many different capacities, from a legal capacity, starting a legal nonprofit that gives access to youth and women for a number of services, of course, access itself, working in D.C. with the Health and Human Services Division, and now leading Children's Action Alliance. You will be hosting a number of events all around the state, and today, this afternoon, we will be out at Community Foundation of Southern Arizona's campus, where you will be hosting a community leaders and community organizations gathering around 2:30 in the afternoon. That will have more information on everything we've been talking about today for folks to get engaged and get involved. But quickly, tell us one more time about why you're celebrating moms in particular as caregivers, and why they deserve the best access to healthcare just like anyone else.
Well, thank you, Lydia, and thank you for your leadership. We just had Mother's Day yesterday. I got to celebrate with my kids and my mom. And let's just remember how important healthcare is, how important nutrition is, food assistance. These things are at the top of the agenda this week in D.C. Historic cuts, unfortunately, are the topic when it comes to healthcare and food assistance. So we're here in Arizona because we're not disconnected. We're not far away in D.C. We're right here, and we are traveling mm-hmm. around this state, meeting with people to hear from them about what it means to them if they lose access, if they lose health coverage, but also helping them understand this is the week, this is the time
it
to let
right
your
now.
Policymakers know how this impacts you.
Well, thank you again for being on Rainmakers. That is what this show is all about, is how we do things, connect with people, and take actions that help our communities thrive. I want to thank you once again, January Contreras, Children's Action Alliance, and Eileen Klein, Arizona Chamber Foundation. You've been listening to Rainmakers. Stay tuned and keep in touch with us. Enjoy the week. Have a happy Monday.